Have you been to the fair yet, Marty?
I sure have, and it's a hot one out there, I have to tell you, but it was just so much fun going and seeing some of the projects that our 4-H'ers have done, and look at some of the animals, and so many. One little girl there wanted me to see her rabbit. She said, come and look at my rabbit, and held the door open and said, oh, look at my rabbit. She was so proud of that rabbit.
And so, how old was she, Marty?
Oh, I bet she couldn't have been more than 5 or 7.
Aww, that's such a cool age. That's such a cool age.
It was just, it was really, really special. But, you know, as much as I love looking at the chickens and the rabbits and everything at, out at the fairgrounds and Allen Farms, we have, in the county, we have some problems. Some of the neighbors are having a problem with a family who now have in a neighborhood, they have 95 chickens and 15 roosters. And,
that's a farm.
And ducks. It, on a
do they have a farm? I mean,
subdivision lot.
It's a subdivision?
In a subdivision. So
95 chickens?
95 chickens, 15 roosters.
I didn't even think it was legal to have any roosters.
So I'm just saying that the reason why I'm discussing this is that they will be going, the neighborhood will be going to listen to a presentation to the Board of Zoning Appeals on August 5th at 6 o'clock at the Bloomington Courthouse. And the owner of the property is going to ask the BZA for a variance to allow them to continue to do this, even on a temporary basis. And the neighborhood is saying, oh, no, you know, this is affecting our life here, and we don't expect to have a farm within our neighborhood. So this is not just a situation for this particular neighborhood. It is Westbrook Downs, which is very near where I live. But it would set a precedent if they said to this person that they could have all these chickens on a very small lot in a neighborhood, in a subdivision, then others might want to do the same thing. And there's rules about how many animals you can have on your property if you live in a subdivision. So I would say heads up to everyone.
Whose job is it to enforce this?
Well,
planning and zoning, isn't it?
What the property owner wants to do is go and ask the Board of Zoning Appeals to give them permission to do it. So if they vote,
so they know
yes, it's okay
so they
for you to do it, then there would be no enforcement.
But they know they have been violating planning and zoning all this time, and they don't care, apparently. They must have been forced to come to planning and zoning desk for this variance because they didn't want to get rid of any of the animals, I guess.
Evidently, their plan is that they will be moving to a farm at some point in time. But there are
so they're looking for a one-timer.
They should have waited until they moved to the farm before they started a chicken farm.
So this is one of these don't ask for permission, beg for forgiveness type situations.
Right, except that this time there's not a lot of people going to turn a blind eye to it. So I'm just saying I think that is of interest to many of the people who live in this county who choose to live in neighborhoods and not out in the
rural
county,
areas,
out in the country,
where
they could have the ability to have.
Well, it's crazy.
Animals.
I mean, you know, any of these subdivision places, I mean, the you know this as well as I do, Marty. What you buy a house in a subdivision, you can get much more property in house out in a rural area. Why don't they just sell their property and move on and stop torturing their neighbors? This sounds like, you know, this is just ridiculous.
Well, that will be decided once again. It's August 5th. At 6 o'clock at the Bloomington Courthouse, at Monroe County Courthouse, so what they sent to me said Bloomington Courthouse, but it was the Monroe County Courthouse. And if you have questions about this, either in your neighborhood or in a nearby neighborhood, the number to call for planning, and the name of the lady is Tammy Bierman at the planning department, and her number is area 812-349-2116. You know, many times we'll complain about what's going on with planning and zoning, but you know, when you see that you need some protection, that's when people begin to understand and appreciate why we have a planning department, why we have zoning, and why we have ordinances. But that is also the reason why the public needs to be very involved as they are being put together, so that it represents a wide variety of interests and issues and what the community really wants.
You know, I find this whole discussion very interesting because I can remember sitting in planning and zoning meetings where they weren't even going to allow the ability for some of these home-based businesses in the rural areas to be continued in those spots because they wanted to change the zoning. And so the person who owned the business, if they wanted to sell it down the road, that business was going to have to move because it wasn't allowed to stay attached to the property. And
well,
then
the
you have something like this.
Perhaps it's not the same in your area, but we used to have over here on the west side a lot of the farm stands along the way where you could go get the fresh produce that they had, little mom-and-pop farm stands out in front of their farm area, and we don't have that now because they changed the rules and said, well, you have to follow their guidelines. And so that's my assumption why so many of these farm stands closed, which I really miss.
Yeah, I agree.
I know
with
a lot
you.
Of people like to go to the little neighborhood farm stands and pick up the fresh tomatoes or whatever. But at any rate, I wanted to make sure that we knew about that and that was coming up. And just as a bit of a comment to follow up on your conversation earlier about running for a national office, and of course that's, you know, that's what we're talking about when they're talking about running for that seat that Robert Hall is going to be
correct.
Running
district
congressional
nine.
District number 9.
I beg pardon?
Congressional district number 9.
Right, and let me just assure you that if I was a voting person, I will of course be voting, but I'm just saying if I was a betting person, I think you have to put your money right now on whoever has the most name recognition because that's the way it works. So we've got between now and 9 months from now to see if that name recognition changes around. And so much of the time, it takes money to get that to happen. That may not seem fair, but that's the way it works.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the national landscape as well with Donald Trump and his... He has enough money to do anything he wants. He doesn't have to go beg and get into that. He's had a television vehicle. He's had Miss America pageants. He's been in the news for every other reason. And you're right, Marty. There's nothing in the book that says the playing field has to be level.
It's just the way it works. And so we'll see. But I'm just saying, realistically, what has to happen between now and 9 months from now to start getting more steam on that name recognition part? And as many votes are being split up with so many people on that ballot, having that name recognition will be key.
And getting the name out in the next 8 months or 9 months, that's going to be the main part of that.
Right. So it will be an interesting race.
No
and,
doubt.
And hopefully we'll get the Republicans up and out to vote and very energized and make sure that they are
next year's
very involved.
Republican primary is going to be amazing. It's going to have
it
to be.
Really it
is.
It's really
got to be. It's going to have to be, Marty. I can't see.
You're talking about the presidential primary, obviously.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Let's get it up to a full 20, Marty. What is it, 16 garbage? That's not a nice rounded off number. Come on. There's got to be four other people out there.
Everybody get out there and go. But I will tell you that as we're speaking about the Ninth District, remember that there's many people here who are supporting Aaron Houchin. So
Houchin, okay, that's how we say that name. Thank you.
I didn't get it right.
They never give you a pronunciation guide with that. So Houchin.
And I'll have to say that's a lot of local people are supporting that as well. So this is going to be an interesting race, and the most important part will be is if you really care about what happens with at the end result, if you really care, you will continue to be a part of the process, win, lose, or draw. What is the most aggravating thing for me is people pretend to be very interested in, you know, helping be a part of the solution, and the minute they lose, they are part of the problem. And so, you know, if you really care, get involved, and then at the end of the day, whatever happens at the primary, then everybody support and get behind whatever their candidate of choice is and move forward. You can't just be interested.
Life's about compromise, isn't it? You're not going to get everything you want every time you want, so you've got to do what's better for the greater good.
Marty, I'm going to have to tell you that honestly, if at the end of the day the person who, quote, gets the nod from the general public is so far away from something I could support, I couldn't do that.
That you can't stay involved with other things that you
don't take your ball and go home.
Here's
what I've seen. I've seen people get their name on the ballot, they lose, and all of a sudden they're not out there and supporting any candidate for anything. They're just like, okay, I lost, so I'm going to go and do something else entirely. Then you sort of question what was their real motive.
I can see your point on that. If you care
about local issues, and of course I think all politics are local.
I
think if you really care about local issues, you'll find
some other way
to try to participate, whether you agree with everything going on or not. Find somebody there on that ballot you want to support.
Marty, I think from hearing me for a long time, I'm not suggesting you take your ball and go home. I think you should stay involved, and I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that, you know, if it were me and it was somebody who was so against what my personal beliefs are, I wouldn't vote for that person. That doesn't mean that I would get uninvolved, because you're never going to change things if that's your attitude. You're never going to change anything,
right? And that's just what I'm trying to convey, is that at the end of the day, you'll have some people who are far to the right, some people who are more centered to the right, and more those who are more in the middle between the right and left. So if you're a Republican or however you want to lean, you should find issues. Why else would you be that unless you at least shared some of the issues? Either you want to be a financial responsible person to be able to provide cost effective and still manageable budgets, if that's important to you, or if the social issues are important to you, or whatever your issue is, then work toward supporting those candidates. And if you're on the Democrat side, if you have other things that's very interesting to you, but maybe not everything that all the candidates want would be something that you would want to support, but that doesn't mean you can't support some, that you can't at least stay involved. So that's just my rant for the day.
No, you're good.
I'm hoping it's an encouraging word to people to say, come on, let's all get on the same page and work together. And that's hard when you're gearing up for a primary.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in Wednesdays after 8:05, and what's your meeting schedule looking forward to? When do you guys get together next?
Okay, we had a meeting last evening, and a part of why I'm talking about elections and so forth is that when we're budgeting for next year, we're budgeting for a very expensive election year, and of course, the county has to pay for this election for next year. This year's elections, of course, the county will have some expenses, but the city has to pay us back for their portion, and town of Ellisville has to pay us back for theirs, which really I don't understand why the election board is going to make Ellisville have two polling places and pay double amount. They don't need that for the town council there for those races. However, that's what they voted for, so I guess that's what they'll have to do. And taxpayers there probably could get their bang for their buck by all going to vote at one place, no larger than that group would be. However, the reason why I mention this is that next year, it's a huge election year, and I'm hearing that some of the cost, new costs, additional costs for just portion of it, is going to be like $230,000, $250,000.
Why is that, Marty? Why is it so much more?
I beg your pardon?
Why is it so much more?
Well, I understand that there's going to be some call to have more satellite offices, more satellite voting spots. And so we'll just have to see what the election board does. But remember, when you only have just a certain amount of money to work with, if we spend this much more on elections, that's just that much less you have to spend on other items that you need to spend money on.
So the argument is have the election in one place, not in multiple satellites to save money?
Well, you know,
That's pre-election stuff.
The reason why I don't understand then their theory that we have to have two for Ellisville Town Council race. Now, you know, the numbers that the traditional numbers that turn out to vote for that, so it's just not that significant.
To have two from multiple places, gotcha.
Right, but there's, I mean, you know, it's not my choice. That was the election board chose that. It's not Elsa's choice. They didn't want two.
But, Marty,
they asked for one.
Don't you give them a budget, and don't they have to stay into it? I mean, don't you say they have X amount of money?
I asked last night for our attorney to let us know if we are required to budget whatever they turn over to us.
I can't imagine how you could be. I mean, there's got to be counties in the state that don't even have that kind of money, and then what do they do?
Okay, that's my question. I mean, I understand they're a board, and they work really hard at doing it, and I appreciate the work they do, and they put in a lot of extra hours, and somebody has to do it and get it done right. So I appreciate that. But they're not the budget people. They're not the ones who are looking at the need throughout the county and what else we might need.
I don't even understand how that's even, you know, in their purview. I mean, if you've got X amount of money, they have to deal with that. And that, if that means that they can't have additional satellites for, you know, the pre-election stuff. I mean, they only have, I would think you only have to, at the end of the day, you only have to be able to pay for election day. I mean, you know, if we didn't have enough money, I could see where you could say, hey, we're not going to do the early voting.
I don't think that's the way it works. It's the reason why I wanted our county attorney to look it up and tell us exactly what our responsibility is. But I had a feeling that if they come up with where the spots are going to be and they take it to the commissioners and the commissioners A-okay it, my question of our attorney is this like a done deal? Is that just like already done?
Wow.
And they didn't have, and he didn't have the answer for me. So,
of course they didn't. Do they ever have an answer for you, Marty?
Well,
whenever
I'm
you
just
ever ask
that
anything?
Is something we need to get an answer on. We spent a lot of time last night going over expenses that the auditor wanted to take out of his ineligible deduction fund for some IT equipment. Come to find out, he told them to go ahead and order it. He had the money to pay for it. It was ordered and installed, and he didn't. He has to have an appropriation. Just because you've got money in a fund doesn't mean you can spend it. You have to have an appropriation to have the authority to spend it. Of all people, it's the auditor's office who's supposed to be watching to make sure the other departments don't do that. And so the council turned it down last night and said no. It'll have to come out of the commissioner's CUM cap fund. Now, why is that such a problem? It's because the commissioners have decided to pay for that very expensive parking garage out of their CUM cap fund, And therefore, they're going to have less and less money to spend on all these IT things that we need. And at some point in time, you mark my words, we'll have to go for a great big bond to cover this, even though they said the council didn't have any vote on this parking garage. But now they don't have the money, don't want to be as big a participant in paying the other bills.